Greetings, witches. I hope the new year is finding you well, or at least, I don't know, not bad. That's not a phrase. But anyway, my name is Blackbird, and I, along with my good friend Scarlet, bring to you this little podcast we like to call Hex Rated, where we talk about witchcraft and many other topics, which you will see in this episode, because we weren't exactly sure what we wanted to talk about. So we talk about a few things that are happening in our lives right now. I'm having a bit of a creative block. My tarot cards were very sarcastic in their response, so we discuss that, along with some witchy finds and some witch ambitions for 2024. Not goals. We don't do goals here. But hope you like this. Please sit back and enjoy, and thank you for listening.
So I say, let's just talk about, what are we going to talk about?
I don't know. I need to share this snack with you. What I have
this
here.
This is Snacks at Hex Rated.
Snacks at Hex Rated, where we talk
Scarlet
about.
Scarlet and Blackbird.
Fucking snacks. This is from our favorite locale, Trader Joe's, who all shows should think about sponsoring us since I talk about their products a lot. This is a cardamom bun.
Yum.
I have not taken a bite. Should we? It's like a...
Oh, yes.
I mean, I feel like it's... it's like a...
What would you call this? It's not an unboxing.
It's an in-stomaching. I don't know.
Imbibing or...
Imbibing. It's so it's a brown sugar cardamom bun.
Is it crispy or chewy?
No, I heated it up a little. It's like cinnamon bun texture.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Cardamom's light, but
I have another cardamom related event. There's this Yemeni coffee cafe in Richardson.
Oh, really?
And it is a delight. They have and all the coffee and tea is basically cardamom flavor. Mm. They have a few things that are not that, but I love cardamom.
I do too.
I strongly feel that cardamom and cinnamon are literally good on everything.
Agreed.
So, and I got a cute little tea flight of little glasses.
Nice.
Sort of like a slightly bigger than like a demitasse.
Yeah.
And it was their signature tea with cardamom and spices, and then same brew with milk added, and then their signature tea, which is sort of like a chai. It's like a black tea with heavy on the cardamom, but also some other spices and a little bit of honey. Mm-hmm. And same thing, the plain tea, and then another glass of the tea with milk. So you could kind of go back and forth between all four. And then they also have a bunch of very delightful little bakery snacks.
This place sounds amazing. And where is it?
It's,
Richardson?
And it's darling. It is in Richardson.
Delicious. Do you have the name? Could you give it to our listeners? I mean, if you can't.
I could.
That would be fun. I don't know how many people are in North Texas, but you never know when somebody's in Richardson fucking Texas and wants some delightful coffee.
It is a very central... place.
Oh, nice.
I believe it is the Arwa Yemeni coffee. Mm-hmm. Apparently, when I Google multiple Yemeni coffee places, yes, that is the location
Arwa
that I did go to. So it is ARWA.
Okay, awesome. Well, put that on here.
And the inside of the cafe is very, very cute.
That's fantastic.
And there were also a lot of people that were there, like with their laptops, like student types and whatnot. So very welcoming atmosphere.
Student types. That's me. Student for life. Student of
I'm
life.
I'm officially
for
old.
Life. Yeah.
If
no
I
shit.
Refer to people
oh god
younger than me as student types.
Dude.
I don't even know what I meant by that. It was like I just channeled a middle-aged lady. I don't know.
A who? A what? A what? That's
a
what
what?
I am.
Is that what I am?
I'm that.
No, I plan to live to be 500.
That's
so
true.
I'm
I was going to say.
Middle-aged. I'm quarter-aged.
I am definitely.
Or not even.
I'm middle-aged for sure.
That's math.
That's okay. Yes, so I
did
had
Did you get your ear piercing?
I did.
You asked me for ear piercing advice. There were several choices that I had never even heard of.
I know.
Did not recognize the names of.
Fascinating, isn't it?
Also learned the names of some common piercings that I didn't know that that's what they're called. So quite an education for me when you sent me a diagram being like, which one should I get?
Well, I hate to...
And then you promptly remembered I don't even have pierced
ears. Well, I remembered that upon originally asking, but I wanted to qualify me asking you the question in that, like, I know you don't, but I know you know what looks good. Well,
right.
I hate to...
Oh, don't worry. I've got opinions.
Oh, exactly. I know. That's why I'm asking. But I hate to bore everyone. What I ended up getting is just a third lobe for now. But I am going to get a...
For now.
I'm going to get a helix on probably on my left side at some point. No, I didn't want to heal lobes and helix at the same time.
No, yeah, so. That seems like a lot.
And I'm not trying to put a bar through my ear or anything. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that's not a look that I am after. But I do like a little classy hoop up top. I like that.
Yeah, so classic.
No, and she did ask
that's
me.
That's one of the ones that hasn't gone away. You know what? I haven't seen anyone with a tongue piercing in a really, really long time. I think
it's finally
about a few years into the early aughts. After its heyday in the 90s, people were like, these are not a great idea.
Yeah.
Me being one of them. I actually miss my tongue piercing very much. I got my tongue pierced in college, as one does. Unless I guess you get your friend to pierce it for you in middle school, like a rebel in the movie 13 or something.
Ooh.
But I really liked mine. I have a giant tooth crater. Where my like first molar, I chomped down on it like a week after it had ceased swelling.
Yeah.
Because apparently you move your tongue around in your mouth a lot more than you think you do.
Probably a lot more.
It was a clean break, so I've never had it filled in.
Did you leave it in after that or like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just chomped on my tooth. It didn't hurt. No. I just have a crater in my tooth now.
Yeah.
But it was such a clean break. That they've never bothered to fill it.
Yeah, is the tooth's okay? Like, you can chew on it and shit?
According to dental professionals.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you had it looked at, so good.
Yeah.
Great.
So that's piercing corner.
Well, wait. No, we're not done with that. Because I had my belly button pierced like you do in the 90s.
And, oh, yeah, I still have that one going.
That one, well, I think at one point I had gained some weight. Well, I mean, I have gained a lot of weight since 24, but since then I had gained weight at some point in my life and it just fell out one night. I'm like, really? That is so sad. Even the belly ring's giving up. Fuck. So, but it's okay. Because
my belly ring was my very first piercing.
Yeah. Wow. And you still like, do you just not want your ears pierced? Like you don't want it?
Well, let's go to the whole piercing nook for a moment.
Okay. Let's do it.
Yeah. I never had my earlobes pierced, which, apparently is very strange and unusual because multiple times I have been gifted earrings and I have to sheepishly say,
I do not have pierced ears.
People are like, that's obviously a lie. And I'm like, nope, look at them. They are pristine. But the reason was neither my mom nor my grandmother had their ears pierced ever.
Mm.
They, I think, just thought it looked tacky or something. Mm. I don't know. It just was not part of the culture in Pennsylvania in the early part of the last century. What can I say? And so I just never had it pierced. And in my peer group in the 80s, early 90s, the thing was for you to go get your ears pierced when you were 13.
Right.
And then your 13th birthday party, the gift would be people would give you a lot of earrings and stuff. So as we all remember as children, when you're like seven, kids that are 13 seem like
they're big
haggard
kids.
Jaded old 30-year-olds like in your mind. It's such a giant age gap that you're like, oh my god, they're teenagers.
They're just so older.
Yeah, so they so to me in my head when I was little, I was like, oh, people with their ears pierced look old.
So
which clearly makes no sense. But like when you're seven and everybody that has their ears pierced is 13 or older, that seems impossibly old.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know. I just had that in my head for a really long time. I used to be very scared of needles.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, freshman year, I went with my roommate. We got our belly buttons pierced.
Nice.
It was very daring.
So daring.
I will say that the healing of that was, took a minute and was quite painful because it's hard not to move your stomach when you are, you know, sitting up.
Yeah,
sitting down,
I kind of remember. I vaguely remember
doing
that.
Anything.
Ooh, very vaguely.
Putting on pants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember the pants situation. Yes, that was not fun.
But I will say, knock on wood, in the past multiple decades of having it, I didn't have any problems once it healed up. But
yeah.
I did have my cartilage pierced, like at the top of my ears.
Oh.
And I made a very bad mistake of getting one. It was like a very heavy gauge. I don't know why they did that or allowed it.
Yeah.
And they were spikes. So instead of having like a little ring, I had them like right at the top of my ear, and it was spikes.
Ow.
So it was like little devil horns on the tops of my ears.
Brushing my
really
hair,
cool.
I would have fucking fucked that up though.
Oh yeah. Well, that's the problem. Every time I tucked my hair behind my ears, I would literally flick it with my finger.
Ow.
And they just wouldn't ever heal.
Yeah.
One would flare up and get red and itchy and sad. Yeah. And then it would kind of get its shit together. Then the other one would be like, wah.
Yeah.
And like my immune system just could not heal both simultaneously. So I had some kind of goblins or kobolds or something in my apartment. And they would frequently take jewelry.
Oh.
And one came out probably in the shower or something. The other one came out probably when I was sleeping or something.
Yeah.
And they closed up immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just gave up on those. And then I did have a nose piercing. It fell out, closed up immediately, got it re-pierced. And then just recently I was like, you know what? My body is not into this anymore.
So you just let it close up.
It close up. I was like, I can always put on like a clip-on or something.
I still have my nose piercing. I'm slowly working on my ears. I have like three.
I liked
now.
The nose piercing, but
yeah,
I
no.
just
I like it, but it is kind of a pain. And belly button gave up, or belly ring gave up. And nothing else is pierced. But the woman that works at my Mr. Blackbird's shop is fantastic. Like, if you are in Vineland, New Jersey, I highly suggest going to Altered Art for piercing. She is fantastic. So there's
if
that.
If you're in
the
North Texas area, yeah. I strongly recommend the Pincushion,
oh.
which is female owned and operated. I believe almost all their piercers are women. So
that's
very cool.
That's great.
And of course, they are great.
Yeah.
Always painless, super clean.
Yeah.
A good selection of jewelry
yes.
in there, and just
well,
pleasant
nice.
To be around. So
yeah. Yeah. Definitely just go to a place that does piercings. Don't go to Claire's like I did when I was
absolutely
a child.
Not.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not a great
But yeah, I mean, I think there's actually a lot of witchy stuff to say about piercing.
Oh, yeah.
It dovetails into, or the Venn diagram overlaps significantly with tattooing, I would
yes.
say.
Yeah.
In terms of its very ancient symbolism of being a rite of passage, of
right.
being this sort of like pain trial, you know, this idea of you endure a little bit of pain and this is a symbol that maybe affiliates you with your tribe or announces that you are of a certain age,
right.
whatever that significance is in your culture. It's for beauty.
Yep.
You know, this idea of like altering your body willfully to make it different and unique and beautiful.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah.
A lot to say about that. And there's a lot of religious traditions that have to do with certain kinds of piercings and whatnot. But that's not what this episode, I think, is going to be about. But I don't know what this episode's going to be about.
We don't.
So
we just were going to.
Maybe I shouldn't say that.
We're going to wing it. So first of all, 13 minutes in, my name is Blackbird. And this is Hex Rated.
I'm Scarlet.
Still Hex Rated.
It's still Hex Rated.
It is. It is indeed. We talk about witchcraft plus a whole lot of other shit. But this is okay. And I don't know if this is going to be a whole episode, but we definitely are doing a tarot corner tonight. So
yes, I would love to tarot corner with you.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Well, do we have any more corners? I don't think so. Like this, I think I'm good.
Let's step into the tarot parlor.
Let's do it. Let's step on in, pull back your witch beads and let's go. So, all right. I have been. So, okay, let's back up. You know how every year I usually do like this, like year spread, and I like do it in like a little like clockwork thing with all of my different decks, and it's so much fun and I get so much enjoyment. I have not done that this year. In fact, I have put off many things this year, witchcraft or not, but I know it's only 21 days into the year, but I usually have done more shit by now. Like I'm in this pattern of avoidance, or like I'm in this pattern of limbo. And a lot of it, which I know has to do with my, bless you, has to do with my work. So I'm in this position that I'm getting this promotion, but it's like it's going through HR, and it's been 3 months of this, which is just insane. So I've really tried to just kind of let it go because I can't control it. I don't have any, I can only do so much, you know, nagging before I appear like the corporate hysterical female, quote. So I wanted to sit down finally and just be like, all right, fuck it. I'm gonna throw some cards and just see. Like, I know I'm blocked. I just need to know, like, what is going on with me? Because I get it, but I don't get it. Like, I don't know what the reasoning is that I'm just holding up my whole life for this. So I did something I never fucking do.
Oh, shit.
Well, first of all, I sat down with my, what the fuck is that thing called? The Strophilos. I sat down with that and I like kind of called in Hecate. I was just like, look, just, you know, light up the torch, dude, keep away the evil, like do something, like come to me. So that felt very good and witchy. And then I put that down. And I was like, okay, well, what deck do I need? And I have like, you know, now I'm like at 14 or 15 decks. I'm like, none of these really work. I'm just going to go back to my tried and true Mythic Tarot, just grabbed it. And like, I have never done a reading like this. I have no idea what possessed me to do this. I just started asking a question, and like, I asked a question, turn a card over, asked a follow-up question, turn a card. Like, I've done that within a spread, but not just as the spread. It's like, okay, well, here's what. So, all right. So first question was, why am I blocked, or what is being blocked?
What is being blocked?
Ace of Wands reversed.
Oh, go. Shit. Your passion, your creativity.
All of it. Yes.
Your will to. What is being blocked?
Yeah.
The blocking of energy.
Yes.
Wow, that was a really sarcastic. Oh,
the whole spread is sarcastic as fuck.
So sarcastic.
So sarcastic.
Oh, you have creative block. What's blocking me? The creative block is the creative block.
What kind of block is it? It's creative. Right. So there was that.
What's causing my creative block? Creative block.
Well, then I said, what's blocking it? Five of Wands reversed. It's like
your ability to take action in the domain of creativity is blocking. Oh my God, this is like the most sarcastic.
It gets better. It gets so much better.
Oh my God.
Then my next question was, all right, well, who or what is blocking?
Okay, is it you?
Well, no, but you take it.
I'm not going to guess. I'm going to let you tell me.
That would be funny. No, it was Page of Pentacles reversed.
Oh, because you're being a nitpicky little Capricorn about it, being like, is this a good idea? I should be working. I mean, this is frivolous. It doesn't make any money. I need to do like productive stuff, like clean or alphabetize some shit, or, you know, like, I don't have time to feel my feels or do things I enjoy or that are fun.
Well, then the last question. So, of course, so I've got these three cards are all side by side, just like 1, 2, 3 okay. Laid out. Then I'm like, all right, well, what is the fucking action? And I put this card underneath these three cards.
Okay.
Don't guess.
I'm not.
Right side up, Six of Swords.
Oh my God. Get in the boat.
I literally just like
and
almost
just fucking go.
Rolled
just
on the fucking
leave
floor.
Leave your house and just go
exactly.
and do it. What should you do?
The something. Thing. Anything.
Leave the house.
Do anything. Stop doing this. Like
go just take a walk around the block. And, fuck.
Like literally anything. Oh my God.
Yeah, literally just get up and go do a thing.
What is hilarious is this is definitely the deck that knows me the most. Like clearly, right?
But it's, well, yeah.
It's not usually
that
the
knows you and has a bit of an attitude.
It's,
about
well,
it.
I was gonna say it's not usually the deck that is this sarcastic. That's usually Mayhem or varieties of other decks, but this deck
yeah, Mayhem's pretty sarcastic.
This deck got real sassy last night. I was having it.
What's my creative block? The block in your creativity, stupid.
The block of creativity. That's what it
think
is.
You have creative block? You're so stupid.
Dude, I don't know, but it was hilarious to me. How like, I mean, and well, then when I reframed, not reframed the questions, but reframed the whole situation in my mind, it was like, well, yeah, your work is blocking your creativity. Like this thing is blocking your creativity. Like the question of like who or what. In my remember old man's book about here's a bunch of questions for each tarot card.
Yes, yes.
The Page of Pentacles questions were really great, and one of them that and what I did was I took that book immediately and started just reading some questions because I was like, well, okay, like this is very sarcastic, but let's look into this a little more. And one of the Page of Pentacles questions was, how much money would it take for you to be happy? And I was
wow.
like, fuck, because that's one issue about this whole situation for me is like, what are they going to pay me? Nobody's even talked to me about that yet. So
that
like,
that is so
well,
incisively personal.
It,
like
it knows me so well, because literally if I could make zero, if I could live on wishes and prayers, I fucking would. Like I would love to just be a like lifelong activist slash writer slash baker. Like that is my fucking dream. Go to every protest I want to go to, like write for zines, you know, things that don't have insurance, quote unquote, you know, I would love to, but like, I also have things that I have to, like, I have to pay things off and do things with money, unfortunately, in this fucking society. So it's like, I'm at this age where is there a middle ground? Like, do I just jump off into some kind of like leap of like not taking care of me and my family? And like, no, that can't happen right now. So it's like, but every day they take longer to do this is like, I feel like saying, well, then fuck this. I don't want to wait around. So,
right.
I don't know. So I feel like the cards were just.
Well, I feel like that's something you say quite often, perhaps almost every episode, is that like, what is stopping you from being a doula or a baker or whatever it
this
is?
Dumbass capitalist
and you're always
job.
Like, well, if I didn't have to have a job.
Right. So like, what does that mean, though? Like. It's just my
well,
own.
I mean. I you obviously you don't have to answer this question right now or at all, but
or if I don't,
I
like
mean,
it, I
on
can cut
paper,
it.
What would be the amount of money that your household would have to make to cover basic expenses? And
yeah, I've done what, this math before.
You know,
it, yeah,
just do the math, and instead of being a little goat, a little sea goat about it, just be like, well, can I do some shifts at Starbucks and have way more free time?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
But it sounds like, yeah, crunch the numbers, man.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like it's saying.
I've done it before.
Also, I have revisited the Pinterest board I made for you on decor
oh.
for your bakery. And you need to go look at it because it looks fucking great. You it is a great mood board.
Give me some inspiration. Speaking of baking, okay, here we're on this now. So this is going to go in a couple of different directions, but here we go. So after my very first colonoscopy, like a grown-up adult woman, they told me I need to eat more fiber. Big surprise. I mean, that's kind of like probably what they tell everyone after a colonoscopy.
I think that's what they tell everyone.
That's fine. But I am going to learn how to make my own multigrain seeded bread.
Ooh, so, that sounds delicious.
So I have bought some unsalted sunflower seeds. I have bought some millet. And I have bought some kamut.
Kamut.
Ancient Egyptian grain. So
I love it.
Yeah, so I'm going to like try to soak these grains and put it in some wheat / rye bread and fucking fuck it up. Delicious, right? Yes.
It sounds like it.
I think it's going to be. But that is my step toward fiber in bread. But I'm not sure where that was going except bread talk 101. But I do still want to do something. Somebody also just sent me like this cute little guy that's doing pizzas out of a little horse trailer. I'm like, could I sell bread out of a little horse trailer? Sure.
Sure you could.
Like a little half a horse trailer. So cute.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Or like,
I'll come over for a couple of weeks and help you convert a horse trailer to
right?
a little
bread stand.
Mobile bakery.
Wouldn't that be fun? Well, I don't know that I could, like, I don't think I could bake in it.
No, but to, small, I mean, like, a mobile bake stand.
Yeah, right? That would be fun, right? I don't know. Here's the
I
thing.
I mean, it would be cute to have, like, a little trailer with, like, a wood-burning oven or some shit, but very that's, cute. Like,
that seems like,
that's a lot.
Yeah. I think, more than anything, and I know that I'm not the only person that goes through this, it's like, for me, there's like, because people are like, well, why don't you just do farmers markets on the weekends? I think, and we've talked about this before, because that's a lot of fucking work. Like, A, I'm still working like a job. Then I have to bake in all of my other time. Then I have to take up my entire weekend for a farmers market. And like, I know these are the steps that lead to a full-fledged business of your own, but it is a lot. And I don't feel equipped to do all that, I guess. Or am I just self-sabotaging right off
that
the bat?
That one. It's that one.
All right. Well, I guess you and the cards have my fucking answer for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your creative block? Your creative block.
What do
you
need to
do about it?
Fucking take a walk.
You should do a thing about it.
You should do anything. Really, literally
anything.
The thing
you should do is anything.
The thing you should do is get stop doing this. This part is what you need to stop doing.
Yes.
All right. That was
wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
Well,
I'd like to ask you a little bit more about the process of how this reading went down, because in addition to how hilariously accurate it was, I love the idea of asking, like, kind of flipping cards in real time. So instead of like thinking about a question, shuffling, dealing them out, taking a beat, looking at the whole spread, you know, to just do it like you're just dealing blackjack.
I literally
I
have never
done
this before.
That interaction is very different than how I normally do it. Because I know when I shuffle, especially if I'm reading for someone else, I have them shuffle until, you know, feels like it's enough. And
right.
You're thinking of the question over and over. And then I always do my own shuffle, whether I'm reading for someone else or for myself, which
right.
is 4 riffles. And then I cut it 2 times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's like a whole ritual, you know.
Right.
And then, you know, I lay everything out and then I'm like looking at the cards, reminding myself what they fucking mean.
Right.
Looking for patterns.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Checking, you know, if I'm doing something that's like past or present, you know, doing a double check that the past or present actually makes sense so that you can go forward to future stuff. Because if the present is like, that doesn't jibe, that makes no sense, I have no idea what that would be referring to.
Right.
It's probably, you know, a try again later magic eight ball situation.
Right.
So, but doing it like kind of rapid fire,
But it's
really interesting. Did it feel really different? I mean, obviously the tone from the deck was different, but
well, I have to say, so A, I don't know that I've ever even done that. So I do not know where it came from. I just know that in my like physical body, I am tired of being in this state, like this limbo state. I'm tired of it. So mm-hmm. I just kind of like did my Strophilus thing and was like, all right, let's just fucking do this deck. And then I was just like, I did my shuffle where I feel like when it feels right. And then I cut it once, do the tapping and then cut it. And then I just was like, all right, what is this fucking block about? Bam. I was like, okay. And it's Mythic Tarot. So it's like, it's the Golden Fleece is there and the guy has a wand and the globe. And I'm like, all right, well, I know what Ace of Wands is. Like thanks cards. I know I'm not being creative. I know I'm just in this, like, thank you for also putting it upside down. I know. It's like, thanks. It's just,
I get it.
I wasn't mad, but I was like, all right, well, tell me more.
But they're like, but do you? Because you just asked me that.
No, I do know. I do. But then I was like, well, all right, that's clearly not enough. And so usually at that point I would say, like, let me do like a context card. But instead I was like, nope. What is blocking it? And then it's this image of, I think it might be Jason. I don't know. But like he is surrounded by fiery wands and he's fighting a dragon, like a dragon serpent.
Right.
So like, so that's the card. I'm like, oh, works the dragon. All right. I know that. That's a fact. So then when the Page of Pentacles comes, I'm like, that's not really what I was expecting, but okay. I mean, I get it. Like I get that. I get where it is in the hierarchy of pentacles and like, yeah, all right, that makes fucking, thanks, that makes sense. And then when Six of Swords came out, and then I was just like, well, what do I need to do? Which I, like, all of these answers, clearly the cards know, I know. It's very frustrating.
But I like that you went with this idea of refining your question.
Yeah.
'Cause that's like a really, like, in your face, putting yourself on the spot,
yeah,
kind of activity, because that is sort of what you were asking, like,
yeah,
the why do I have this creative block, not to be an asshole, but it's kind of a dumb question.
But no, not, and it's, but it's not just like why do I
but
have
it,
this
it,
it was more like what, why am I feeling like that? I don't get it. Like I get the feelings I'm having. I don't understand why I'm doing it. Like, this is not necessarily like me. Or is it? I don't know. It might be.
A little bit.
Sometimes. I mean, like, it was.
Well, given that you haven't opened your bakery or
right.
become a doula
right.
or
any of the other things.
You have moved
up
to the
poet.
Country. So there yeah. there are a few steps being taken to be a bog witch. But
I'm trying. Yes.
But yeah, I like the idea of participating in a conversation with the tarot instead
yeah.
of asking one question and then getting a longer answer.
Right.
But pushing it to be like, how do I keep refining? You know, it's like a game of like 20 questions or something.
Well, and
you know,
like you said, there might be some like outliers, right, that don't make any sense. But this was a case where everything makes complete and perfect sense. And
yeah.
it was just like not a... It was a little, I mean, clearly snarky, but also unexpected that it would just make that much. I don't know why. Witchcraft always never ceases to surprise me. I'm like, oh, can you believe that worked? No shit, dummy. I mean, of course it works. I don't know. I do that all the time. Like when I first made the Strophilus and it went fucking nuts, I'm like, where does that work? Because it's magic. You know, I mean, yeah. sometimes you just gotta... not look for, you know, some like answer. Oh, I bought you a present today. That reminds me.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, segue. I wanted to see if I could have a conversation, I guess. I mean, in the moment, yeah. I was just like, this is not enough answers for me, which should have been. But I think I just wanted to like, keep going. And I mean, I guess I could have kept going, like, what do you mean take a walk, you know, or whatever. I mean, I don't think I think after that, it was pretty clear that, like, really just doing anything besides what I've been doing is the answer. So today I went to an antique store. I mean, ooh, it's a fine. Start. It's a start. Well, at the antique store, they had a very lovely, very on sale hearth broom. So what? It's got like a big, here, hold 1 second and I'll show you. Hang on.
Wait, is this here. Show and tell? Did you
it
get
is
it?
It is show. I bought it. Yeah, man. I bought
treasure.
It. Hold
oh,
on.
The
hold
magic
on.
Of serendipity.
All right. So I didn't. So I asked Pappy, I was like, what is this? Because, you know, we've had exactly two fireplaces in our whole life, but it's a hearth broom. So one end is like it's wrought iron and it's got
wow.
a hook because it hangs on a little fireplace
oh, that's
tool
so
thing.
Neat.
And then the bezel, like the broom part is really big and looks like it's been used. So it's total. It's what? Like about a yard, maybe a yard and a half.
Probably. Yeah. It's more than
it's
a yard.
It's pretty big. And so it's bigger than a normal, because I've seen a tiny fireplace broom, but this is like a big one. And so I'm going to get all kinds of dried flowers that I like. And it's going to be my besom because I've never made one. So.
Oh, cool.
Yay.
I love that the handle is wrought iron instead
twisted.
Of a wooden dowel. That's really unusual.
It's twisted, too, which I thought was a really pretty little a feature. I don't know. It was $20
and
plus
like,
20%
I like
off.
The hook at the top. Like, obviously, it's not sharp. But, I mean, it's that symbol of, like, the sickle.
Right.
You know, which is very Demeter, very Hecate.
Yeah, so like weapon or welcome or neither. I don't know. I just love it. I'm just so excited with
that's so neat. And I love how like worn in the tips of the broom are.
Yeah.
Like the very top where they're bound, it looks like, you know, a regular straw broom that you would get at a grocery store or something. But then, yeah, it gets like kind of frayed and like gnar looking on the tips, like it's been well worn.
But look at the.
Ooh, I like that the hilt is sort of braided a little
bit.
Yeah. It's in like a basket weave.
Yes. I just thought it was just really, it really stood out. I was like, oh, well, if it's like speaking to me this much, I need to buy it.
Serendipitous find.
That was a fun find. Well, when I tell you what we're really on the lookout for, you're going to laugh your ass off. So in the tattoo shop. I don't know, someone along the line, someday, somewhere, decided to put up a bunch of terrible, well, terrible's relative, scary fucking black and white, like, sketches of clowns. Like not, like, very scary clowns. So,
okay.
Pappy is slowly replacing these sketches with other clowns. Clowns that he is finding at thrift stores. So far he has one. It is a velvet clown.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's real fucked up and hideous, scary. So we're on the lookout for more. They can be velvet, but they could just be any. So if you got a secret place somewhere in Jersey with nothing but clowns, let us know. But yeah, so we're on the hunt for scary clowns for this bathroom. Which I keep telling him, I don't love it. I don't like to go in the bathroom there. I'm not a person that really gives a shit about clowns, but I also like don't necessarily want to be accosted by a wall of clowns when I am trying to pee. So I don't know. I have feelings about it, but I'll help him in his search. But so I found the broom.
That's adorable. I will send you some freaky clowns.
I hope
if
you
I
do.
Come across them.
Please do. But I also found I've been looking for a box. So I don't know if I've told you about this, but I have this deck. It's called the Spolia deck.
Yeah.
And it's a
beautiful.
Lot. It's not only 78 cards, but it also has all the elements, all the astrological signs, and I think some other shit, too. So it's like it's probably over 100 cards. Anyway, it's really tall and they're wide cards. So it's really hard to find like a normal just deck box or bag that this would fit in. So I've been on the hunt for like a perfect box. So in this thrift store that I found this amazing hearth broom in, I also found like a cigar box. And it's very simple, very plain. And I may choose to paint it. I may not. But it's tall. It's perfect height. I can put the box of the box that the cards came in and then the cards on top because it's a pain in the ass to get them out of the box they came in because it's really, really packed in there. So I can put the box in and the cards and just leave them loose and the little book, and it all fits inside the box.
Excellent.
I know.
Lovely.
I did. And then Pappy found some albums. He found Albie Schur's Night and Day. And also Barry Gibb and Barbara Streisand's Guilty. So that's the kind of thrift store shopping we were doing today. But yeah, so I don't know. That was a step, right? And the other step I've been thinking about is I'm very insulated here. So I haven't really made any attempt to like meet anyone or do anything in this town for a year. So I was thinking about, I know
it's been a year. That's crazy.
It's been over a year. It's been,
I know. I keep thinking months. That you moved there like in October, but you did, but October,
last October, last year. Right. So I've been thinking about maybe a dance class, and I know that's you know, it's adult dance classes can be hit or miss, but they have like a drop-in tap class. Don't laugh. I mean, I know tap is hilarious, but it would also be hilarious because I haven't done it since I was a child. Well, maybe not a child, but either way, tap will be, drop-in tap? Like, I need to know what this is about. It's kind of like, what do you learn? Shovel step hop and then, like, hop the fuck out the door? What do you do? So, it's $10. So, what am I doing?
Well, that, I mean,
right.
Yeah.
What am I doing? Right. So, basically, Six of Swords. I'm going to Six of Swords it up, and I'll let you know how
it
goes.
Six of Swords.
I'm going to...
That's really funny, because in my therapy session on Saturday, that came up multiple times.
Really?
About, like, feeling, like, kind of in a rut, and, like, being a creative person. And this is a conversation that Mr. Scarlett and I have had. Because I feel like after the pandemic... Mm. I felt like my friend group kind of shrunk.
Yeah, same. Same.
I kind of got out of touch with several people that were sort of part of my original crew. And then the people I'm still in touch with are, it's not the same dynamic of being able to put something in a group chat or text people and get something going like same day.
Yep.
You can't just be like, hey, does anyone want to meet up for dinner tonight or something?
Yeah.
Like, just people are out of the habit of spontaneously gathering. And so that's been a struggle. And I don't know. I just feel like my immediate group of people is shrinking.
Yeah.
Because I'm not doing roller derby.
Right.
I don't have coworkers that aren't my father or my husband.
Yeah.
And right. I do really feel like I need to just like get out of the house and be around other people. And just for the sake of doing it, as opposed to necessarily like, this is the hobby that's gonna, you know, break me out of this funk.
Right.
It's like, I think just baby steps, just leaving the house,
yep.
having a thing to do will sort of shake some of that, you know, cemented on dust off kind of get the creative juices flowing in ways that are seemingly unrelated, but... probably subconsciously or deeply related.
I feel the same. I feel the exact same way. I mean, first of all, my friend circle has like, it never really got a whole lot bigger in San Diego. I mean, I had a couple of added friends, but now, you know, living in pretty much new isolation. I mean, I can't like, I value my online friendships or the people that I meet with virtually. I value them a lot. But I think I value them to the point of thinking that that's all I need. And I don't know that that's true anymore. Like you said, I think I need to be around other people just for the sake of being around them. I think I got so shell-shocked by the pandemic. Not shell-shocked, but just like I honestly, all of last year and some of 2022, I was like, no, doesn't feel safe. Don't want to do it. Don't want to get sick. I mean... I don't want to give anybody else anything if I have it. You know, I was just very, like, trying to be not communicable. I, like, didn't want to give anybody anything, and I didn't want to get anything. Like, but to the point...
Yeah, which is totally reasonable,
right.
But it's just hard to break out of that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I'm still stuck in it, I think, a little. I think that's a little bit, because, I mean, I can go places now. I'm not like super paranoid about going places. I don't feel the need to, I don't know. Maybe I'm like scared to get to know people again. I don't know. Like the people I know are the people I know and that's good enough. But it like, is it like, I don't know.
People are terrible. That is true.
Universally yeah, terrible.
The worst, honestly.
But there are good people.
Some of them have dogs.
Well, some of them have dogs.
I would like to meet their dogs.
I would be okay to meet other people. I just don't know how, like,
I would say also taking a class, I think, would be refreshing, because one of my problems is I tend to be so caught up in being like, well, whatever, I could just teach that to myself, which, I mean, is not untrue usually.
Right.
But the problem with that is that then I spend a lot of time researching it.
Sure.
And how to go about starting to learn it, and that I don't actually do the thing.
Then you feel like you've already done it. Right.
Yeah. And I think that, especially for me, because I'm such a control freak, that kind of letting someone else take the wheel and like turning that part of my brain off and just doing it, like literally just going through the motions, turning my brain off and just being like, you know, whether it's a dance class or something athletic or something creative or, you know, hands-on or whatever it is, to just take a class and have someone like be like, do this series of steps that I will instruct you through. And you just do it, I think would be maybe really freeing for me.
Yeah.
To just not have to be the one that's like coming up with like a 10-step plan.
I think it's definitely what I need. So I'm going to start with maybe either the tap class or there's also a Zumba. And I could do either or both. It kind of depends on what I'm interested in. I kind of want to see what the drop-in tap class is like. Like, is it a train wreck? I feel like it's a train wreck. I can't wait. I mean, I have my own fucking tap character shoes. I'll fucking bring them out. I'm sure they fit great. But I mean, like, what have I got to lose? I'm not scared of like showing up or like looking dumb or anything. That's not the thing. I think I'm just like, sometimes I psych myself out by saying, is it worth the effort? Is this really what you want to do?
You do a page of Pentacles reversed?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How much money would it take for you to
I feel like that's come up before.
Do you think we just visited that? Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do a page of Pentacles reversed. Ugh.
That's really interesting, because I feel like on the one hand, what we're talking about would definitely be typical kind of New Year's resolution stuff. Mm-hmm. But we're kind of in this in-between season. We're right here on the cusp between Capricorn and Aquarius, which I think is very significant, because Capricorns are very by the book. What is tradition? What is practical? What is according to my 5, 10, 20 year plan in life? And then Aquarius is very much like, let's put on our tinfoil helmet and go break into Area 51. Like, it's just like, yeah, like, let's just find out all the things and not have a plan and just be fucking weirdos. And then also it's between, you know, Yule and Imbolc or Candlemas or something. And I always get a deep spring cleaning urge at Imbolc
too,
which is very unlike me, because I do not like cleaning or organizing things. So I like, kind of, instead, because I dislike New Year's resolutions. Because I think it just sets you up for failure.
Yes, agreed.
To be like, I have this plan, and then if you do not knock it out of the park in a reasonable amount of time, you feel like, oh well, fuck. But I do like this sort of Imbolc energy more of like spring cleaning and like
clearing house.
And it's not quite spring yet, but it's sort of like prepping for spring.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that energy of also it being like a mostly dairy and bread based holiday is always a delight.
Always a delight.
I like that very much. But I do get like kind of spring cleaning, like, you know, rolling up the sleeves, putting on the rubber gloves, like getting out the scrubber and like just doing some stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm very curious this year to see if my secret white cat / spirit of breed shows up again. If you do not know what I am referring to, please go in the Wayback Machine on our episodes and look around this time last year or a little after Imbolc. And I did a little ritual that involves like circling the house three times. And I left an offering out on this little like kind of like a fire pit area we have in one corner of the yard, and a mystical cat that I have never seen again came, and it was like it was bread and milk that I left, and it ate the bread, and the milk was in a very small glass, and it got all the milk out of the glass with its paw, never tipped over this teeny tiny glass. Crazy. It was like a very large cat. I have never seen this cat ever again.
And it was an all white cat.
All white. And I had never seen.
And you said it's statistically unusual.
Yes.
That's not a very common kitty color.
Also true. Yeah. And I had never seen it before. And I have never seen it again.
It was breed.
I think so.
Visited you as a cat.
Pretty sure. And I'm wondering if it will happen again. I don't expect it. But I will leave out the same offering.
Do it.
Also, we had magical, and you had magical mystical snow, but probably not as much of it. We got about 4 inches of snow. And
golly.
My favorite part about snow, and this is the part that I forgot about, because I lived in Utah as a child and then St. Louis again as an adult. My favorite part about snow is how fucking quiet it is.
Oh, yeah.
I love, like, to me, that is a very, I don't know, spiritual experience. Like going outside at night while it's snowing is like, that's like a special kind of nature magic to me. I don't know.
Yeah, right before we started recording, we're getting a cold front in. We're supposed to get some kind of like icy precipitation. So there's those beautiful, like just silver clouds at sunset. And I was walking across the grass and it sounded so weird, like the echo of these leaves crunching, because there's something about those ice clouds that reflect sound in such a weird way. Everything's kind of, it's like you're in a soundproof room or something with like all the styrofoam, like sound dampeners.
Yeah.
But yeah, it not only is it quiet, but like any sound that is generated just sort of gets absorbed. It bounces off this like low atmospheric, like cold, like hard cloud above you. And then this like absorbent snowy ground. And it just feels like everything's got mufflers on it.
Right. And it feels like, doesn't it feel to you like that is a very interesting observation. First of all, I don't know if I would notice that in just like, you know, ice cloud weather, but maybe. But I feel like, and this is going to sound real dumb, get ready, it feels like everything is closer. Like everything is like you're under a dome almost.
Yeah. Like you're under a blanket or something. Well, because I totally agree with that. And I don't know if it really literally has to do with that the cloud cover is lower.
Yeah, maybe.
But also at night, like the ambient city lights reflect off those type of clouds more. So the sky has this weird blue silver luminosity to it. I don't know why I was going to say luminousness, and then
I
decided
that
to go with luminosity, and I ended up saying neither word. So, but yeah, I definitely get that sense.
Right.
It feels like you are swaddled somehow.
Yes.
That like the air, the sound, the light, everything. Yeah, it just feels like you're sort of bundled in
atmosphere.
Oh
my God. I could literally
totally
stay outside.
That.
Oh, here's another thing that happened this week. So a lot of weird things happened this week, culminating in that tarot spread. But also there was a hawk in our tree for like an hour and a half. And it did not leave until I went outside. I don't know what that means. I don't know that it means anything, but I've never seen any bird sit in that tree for that long. And it was a big ass hawk.
Interesting.
But it was definitely a hawk. He like was in one tree for a long while, like probably 30, 45 minutes. And then he did a swoop of the field. Like it looks out over farmland. So I'm sure like there's some good little critters hanging out down there. And then he went to another tree and stayed in that tree for another like 45 minutes. And then I went outside. I was like, I'm going to make a snow angel. I want to be out in the snow. And I did.
Oh, that's
yeah. Well, get out of the house. Right. But I mean, this was before the tarot reading, but still I knew it was coming. But yeah, I walked outside and I was like, ooh, I really, maybe I can get a better picture of him. But as soon as I stepped out where he could see me, he flew off. I was like, well, that's cool. But then I started thinking, then I started like, you know, overthinking. I'm like, well, is that somebody? Is that somebody that's, is there a message here? What message am I supposed to be receiving?
Well, I don't know. Cause like hawks are very sharp eyed, eagle-eyed,
you might say.
And then they wait for their moment and then they swoop and they spot a little tiny mouse in a field that no one else can see or hear. And they just like swoop in and grab it.
That's right.
And so that's what you need to do.
Swoop in and grab that mouse.
Yeah, you need to swoop in and just grab it with your grabby hand.
Just swoop. Swoop and grab. Swoop and grab.
Swoop.
And grab.
Swoop, swoop, and grab.
So, yeah. So that was a fun snow day situation. And just like, I don't know, it was really hard to work on, I think that was Friday that it snowed all day. It was hard because all I wanted to do was just like sit at the window and watch the snow.
So. Well, I would like to put us both on the spot and ask a question and be like, what are your witchy ambitions? I'm not going to say goals.
Oh.
That kind of puts a deadline on it.
Hashtag witch goals.
What are some witchy ambitions of things you want to revisit or explore or challenge yourself with?
I got a long
ass
list.
No pressure to complete a task and be like, I did it, check it off the list.
Oh no.
Done, achieved, A+, got the certificate, whatever. But just what are your, name me a few witchy ambitions.
Okay.
For 2024.
Sure. And they have been ambitions for a long time, so I would not limit it to just this year. But let's see. Okay. Ambition number one in which ambitions would definitely be to do more garden type things. I really would try my hand at a Hecate garden this year, or at least a like a goth garden, like get some really cool like there's a lot of black or really dark purple or black elephant ear type.
Ooh, yeah, I things. Love those guys.
Yeah, they're lots gorgeous. Of caladiums that are dark. Lots of, I mean, I'm really interested in trying some things.
It's but, almost like you live in a town that's called Vineland that is about growing shit.
It is almost about that. Yes, it is. Like, I could literally do that. And the thing that's kind of made me a little, well, it, I mean, we've only been here a year, so it's not like I can be like, I've been lazy. Stop that. I've been fine.
No. No right. Judgment about the progress you've made thus far.
Right. I think the reason why I kind of rested on my laurels last year is I did a lot of growing in San Diego, and we are surrounded by so many farms that like sell all of their fantastic shit. I'm kind of like, do I really need to do anything? I mean, maybe. It's been, last year I kind of just wanted to see what the weather was going to be like all the time. So I could see what's possible.
Recon, enjoy the farmers markets and the being in a rural landscape, which is a huge change of scenery.
Yes, and I really like it, but I do miss the tending to plants. Now, I did grow some things last year. I grew some herbs and I grew some tomatoes. So it wasn't like I did nothing, but I think I do want to build like a little raised garden for this spring. But also like really start thinking about flowers and herbs more, like to have like an actual bed. Well, also, this ties neatly into my second big witch initiative, which I've kind of changed things up now. So we just finished this bathroom remodel. That has been great times. I mean, it's over.
It looks fucking fantastic.
It looks great.
Though.
Yes, it does. It looks
the
terrific.
Before and after is
shockingly.
Kiss.
It's just shocking.
It's shocking.
Yes. So the next project is probably another bathroom. However, I do want I hate this phrase, but I do want a she shed. I would like an outbuilding that is not attached to the house that is either. Now, I've talked for a long time about it being like a witch cottage. But, yeah. Well, yes and no. I am actually leaning more toward it being my office and leaving my witch space inside the house, just because I think I would feel weird if all of my stuff was outside all night. Isn't that weird? I started thinking about it. I was like, I don't know that I can be separated from.
No. Yeah. You know, I think that one of the things, especially working from home, and this isn't particular to you, this is everybody in the world, mm-hmm. that the work home life balance is difficult when it's literally in your home.
It
so
is.
I think literally physically distancing that role and that activity, mm-hmm. and those tools and that furniture and everything, and separating it from the house. And hey, I mean, fucking Six of Swords, step out, cross
right.
that river, get
right.
on the ferry, you know, pay the toll. Just the act of having to go out a door, shut it behind you, take a few steps, go into this other room outside the house, I think psychologically would be really refreshing and healthy.
Probably really healthy. So but that doesn't mean, so here's my office ambition. If I do make that the office, it's gonna look more like a library. We're gonna we're gonna have floor to ceiling bookshelves for sure. Floor to ceiling bookshelves, probably a little rocking chair or some little chair I can sit in to read in, and whenever I want to take a little breaky, or just completely fuck off, take a little break from work. But I'm leaning to more, but I want the outside to be like the witch's garden, basically.
Yeah.
And it can still look like a little cute little witch cottage from the outside. Still want to keep that aesthetic. It's just not going to be my place for witch ritual.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, you could maybe have a little you might end up developing a little witch corner in there, mm-hmm. of how do I bring a little witchcraft
right.
into my work life, as opposed
right.
to how do I have my work life inside the house and carve out space for witchy stuff? It's
right.
more the other way around. It's well, how can my witchy stuff come into this environment and
right.
support it, and not necessarily be where I do the majority of my witchy stuff, but it's how can I sort of cloak myself, shield myself, or, take little mini breaks and have this little corner.
Right. Yes.
That I can kind of ground and center, or, just sort of refresh, recharge, but don't feel like you're tainting your primary space with kind of work residue.
So I don't know if that's going to be a this year project. I mean, even though I would like to do it ASAP, there's only, how much money would it take to make me happy? Clearly a lot, because this kind of shit doesn't, bathrooms aren't free. Tiny little houses out back aren't free. I can't probably just make enough bread to give me a tiny little witch house. So these are my witch quandaries, right? Do you want to do what you love, or do you want to have the things you want? I don't know that it's both. I mean, it's not, I can't do both. So those are, but then on a personal level, not just things I can have or things I can do. I think something else I'd like to, really start focusing on is maybe more magic in other spaces that aren't my house. So we have talked.
Oh, interesting.
Well,
yeah.
We've talked repeatedly about leaving little painted stones in places, or leaving little things in places. And I kind of want to maybe do some of that. I don't know what, and I don't know what the format's going to be, but I like that idea just as much as I know this is super hipstery, but I would love to sit in a public place and just type out poems for people. I would 100% do that. I would be the $5 poem chick. I would love it. But again, I don't know. Like, I'm also like, do you need a license? Do I have to call somebody? Come on. Like, who gives a shit? Just set up a TV tray with a typewriter on it and just do it. But yeah. That's like, but, and then also something that I really striven, something I really wanted to finish by the end of last year that I didn't, is I'm trying to get my book of poetry together. So that's, and that's, so those are a lot of lofty things that I would like to happen. But I think the things that I really like, if the little cottage can't be done, like I really want to focus on the book of poetry and like the getting out of the house, even if it's solitary, I'm just going for a walk or something, but like having something with me to kind of leave in that space for someone else. So those are manageable.
I think so.
Well, now it's your turn.
Oh, shit. Well, one that we've both mentioned that we want to get back on the Hail Hecate series. We got kind of halfway through and then it was like a bunch of shit happened.
Yeah.
And I'd like to pick that back up for sure.
Yes.
Man, I had like five things I was thinking of as you were talking, and then I promptly emptied my brain.
That's okay. I can talk about some more shit until you. I would also like to take a little toe dip back into energy medicine. I've, you know, with this whole feeling of being like kind of stuck in this limbo, I've kind of like turned to our favorite, not Barbara Eden, but Donna Eden, the author of Energy Medicine. And that has a lot to do with like meridians in your body and tapping and touching certain places on your body to kind of make that energy flow better. So I've been kind of dipping a toe back into that right now because for some reason, like I know the block is blocking. Look, we know. But I feel like there's something that I am not letting go of. I really literally do not know what it is, but I feel like if I figure that thing out, it's going to change some things. I just don't know what the thing is to let go of. So I need to do some like heavy meditation on it maybe, or maybe I just need to get out of the house and see if it comes to me that way. So.
Right.
Yeah.
I definitely want to, I was experimenting with this particular, like meditation set of tapes, and I'd like to get back on that and also keep trying other little techniques and stuff.
Do you know what they are? Can you recommend?
What?
Do you know what the set of tapes are?
Oh, well, yeah, it's the, I don't know why my brain just.
It's okay. I mean, we kind of didn't have a plan for today. So a lot of times we have a plan. Can you tell? It's all right. I think everybody's with us on this journey of kind of rediscovery.
Oh, it's the gateway process. I forgot. So this is the one that like kind of rose to prominence when the CIA declassified a bunch of documents. Mm. It involves binaural beats.
Yes, you tell
and
you said
a lot
about
of different
this.
Kinds
yeah.
of meditation, and I started doing it, and I liked it.
Yeah,
I've also been doing a like a mantra practice with Kurukula, where I recite her mantra like 108 times.
Nice,
and it's one of those things that's interesting because there's like just a very base level at which you can do it where it's like literally you just zone out and recite it and you know you're just like
yeah
like you just say it over and over and over really fast.
Yeah.
And then there's also like a more intentional practice where you're just really savoring the sounds and like really trying to get the pronunciation correct.
I like
and
that.
Thinking of what these seed syllables mean and symbolize. Mm. And then there's the other layer of it, of doing the sadhana where you're like picturing her and it's this very elaborate set of symbols. There's also a kind of more abstract where you could look at her yantra, which is just a geometric design. So there's very different levels of engagement. So at the very least, I could just rattle off, you know, 108 of these mantras, and it's a very short mantra. Or, you know, like if I'm feeling more ambitious, I can do this other stuff. So the baseline level of commitment is quite low, which is reassuring because there's always, you can always just fucking rattle it off and say it.
Yeah.
And it's operating on a subconscious level.
That's very refreshing.
But then also there's other layers you can do where you're kind of savoring other aspects of it or really focusing on it or trying to engage multiple senses at once.
But if you don't have the energy to go to those different layers, I like that there's this one.
I like that there's a fallback where it's like, I can still engage with this without having to like set aside all this time and effort and focus and feel like I'm not like, I don't want to feel like, oh, well, if I can't devote this level of focus, then it's not even
then I'm not doing well. It's like a lot of things that we talk about, like just because you're not the best at something doesn't mean you shouldn't try it, or just because like
I know that, but everything about my being is like, no, I must be the best at it.
I know.
And by everything I mean about my being, I mean, I am an Aries and everything is a competition.
That's right.
But yes, that is something that I really need to work on. Also, and I was talking about this in therapy too, but our dear friend Brandon, who is a Buddhist among other spiritual flavors, also an Aquarius, so definitely try to channel some of his energy in this Aquarius season. But he was once talking about, you know, capitalism fucking got us shook.
Dude,
so as
so
someone
shook.
Who does creative stuff, I really struggle with, even though I don't do any of the my things that I studied in college professionally, I still feel this pressure to be like, I need to produce.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I need to be making things. So even if I'm not selling them, I need to put on this performance for I don't know who.
Right.
Of being productive, like having actual physical things that I made that in theory could be worth money.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and like, I really need to let go of that.
Yep.
And it's hard. But I think one way of doing that is not being so precious about things. I've talked about this multiple times, but a big problem I have is I procrastinate by over planning.
Yeah.
Instead of just cranking out just some rough drafts of drawings or writing or dance or whatever it is and just kind of like noodling around, I want to do one perfect draft all in one go, which is not a reasonable, like no one who is a professional or hobby anything
does
would
that.
Tell you that is a good way to do it.
Or that is a way to do it at all. Like,
at
it's
all.
Not a
that
thing
that works
happens.
Ever.
Like, right.
They're like, if your ambition is to never get started.
Go for it.
just stare at a blank page or a blank canvas or whatever.
Right.
And never get started. Yes.
I know.
So So that for sure. I'd also like to get back into more movement-based kind of meditation. Like, yoga or dance.
Same. Okay. So sidebar, that's something that I've been fucking avoiding. I was doing yoga before we started the whole downstairs bathroom project, which is right next to that room. So it makes sense that I kind of didn't go in that room for a while because they were kind of using it for storage or for whatever. But like, I have not done yoga in like months. And I feel like there's some kind of it was making me so happy. Like, I was so happy doing it. I'm just like.
Also, when your like back is like all lubricated and flexible.
Yes.
It's crazy how much better everything in the universe feels.
Yeah.
And you sleep better.
And creative. Probably more creative too. Or like.
You're
like,
not in pain all the time.
Right.
You have more energy.
Right.
Just everything is easier and better.
Yeah. So like.
And again, that's the thing I procrastinate on because I know like if I'm watching a video at home or something.
Yeah.
Like I know that sometimes halfway through I'll get bored.
Sure.
Whereas obviously if I'm in a class, I can't just. I mean, I can.
You could
get
just,
up and leave. Just, but at least there's enough peer pressure that I feel like I should just wait it out.
Right.
Also because, you know, a class, I don't know what the instructor is going to be doing next. Whereas with a video, it's usually a video I've seen before.
Right.
And I can be like, oh, it's getting to that boring part or whatever. but you know what? Like even then, like if I do 5, 10, 15, the whole video.
Yeah.
I would rather be doing a little bit than zero.
Right.
So, like, exactly. I don't know why I'm doing this thing of, like, oh, I don't know. I just don't have the attention span for this. I know I'm going to quit halfway through.
And okay. the yoga app that I use, she has, like, multiple, like, 10-minute session. Like, you could do anywhere from, like, 10 minutes of something to, like, full-on 45 minutes. There's, like, plenty of choices.
Honestly, and just doing one sun salutation would be better than doing zero.
Zero. I know. So it's like, what is happening? Like, why am I doing this?
But I mean, go back. We have done a whole episode on dance and movement and witchcraft, which we come from dance backgrounds.
Yes.
And that goes into a deep dive of how that is very witchy to us. I don't feel like that deserves a whole lot of explication, but no. I think that would enhance my witchcraft practice a lot.
Yes.
To get back into that routine. Of course, there's the endless stack of books that I have half read that I need to finish that are most of them are witchy related, nonfiction sort of things. And
I know another thing I want to do. I want to sign up for Miss Letitia Barbier's Mirror Tarot class.
Yeah,
it's not really a class. It's like you're paying for a reading, but you are doing a reading with her. So you are mirroring each other. And I think, and I can't remember word for word, but I feel like you are presenting her with your reading of this, and then she will present you with her interpretation. So basically bouncing interpretations off each other. Well, I was thinking, I don't know why we're not doing that. I mean, I think we've done it.
That's what we used to do in live and in
right.
person.
We've done it in life
with each other.
Right. We would just read and then everybody would kind of gather around and make their own impression. So yeah, it sounds really cool. I don't know. Again, I don't know that I'm going to, but I would like to do that. I think that sounds really fun. Also, I think going to the con in March is really going to help both of us.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I feel really positive and good about that. So.
Oh, I have some other kind of crafty projects that I want to do. Like, I want to make a little crow station so I can court all the corvids.
Oh my
in
god
my yard.
You have to let me
and
know
feed them so that they will bring me presents and then attack my enemies.
You know, I have tried this, but I do want to try it again because I think I've spoken of the very unique, probably not that unique, but the different crow we have called the fish crow.
Yeah. Yes,
the fish crow that goes wah 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 wah. He does a double every time. And I really want to make friends with some fish crows. So, yes, please let me know of your crow journey.
I will.
Yeah. Well, we have some ambitions.
We do.
And I feel good about maybe possibly getting unstuck soon and not under the auspice of, oh, it's my job that's going to get me unstuck. No, I need to get myself unstuck. And I think that's what this whole thing boils down to. Is like, I don't need to rely on whatever that outcome is there for whatever is going on inside of me. Right?
Right. Yeah.
Sounds good.
The creative block is blocking your creative block.
Block is blocking. What's blocking? Yeah. The block. Thanks.
What should you do about it?
Run around in a circle.
Something.
Get on
anything,
a boat.
Just do a thing.
Anything. Really anything. Move within the spiritual plane of your mind.
Hashtag sarcastic tarot is sarcastic.
Oh, I would love to hear, maybe that's an episode we should do, is just like sarcastic tarot stories, because I know we both have several.
That would be a fun one.
It would be a fun one. Like, how sarcastic is your tarot? ?
I don't know. How sarcastic is it?
Right. Oh, well, I think that's a good place to, I don't know, stop talking about nothing. I feel like we just did like a whole Seinfeld episode on witchcraft. No, what's it about? Airplane food? Oh, God, I'm old. Anyway, this was great. I had a lot of fun. I feel better. Do you feel better?
I feel invigorated. I feel inspired. How about that?
I'm not going to go that far, but I do feel.
Whoa.
No, I feel an inkling of inspiration. So that's better than what I had yesterday. So it's good. Getting there. We're going to do it. Okay.
Awesome.
Let's high five out of here.
Hocus pocus, bitches.